Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Let's get into week two of Via Della Rossa. Who was here last week and enjoyed it last week? Yeah, I see a few hands. Yep, awesome. I loved it. Marty spoke so powerfully. So for those of you who don't know, we're currently in week two of our series called Via Della Rossa. Put very simply, Via Della Rossa is the name given to a path that they believe Jesus would have walked in Jerusalem. So it would have taken him from the city out to, I think it's Golgotha is what they call it, which is where Jesus essentially was crucified. And so they call it the journey of suffering. And it's how we get to, it's essentially, we see Jesus' life. We're talking about Jesus' life up to that point of crucifixion. Because then we obviously, spoiler alert, go into and talk about the actual crucifixion for Easter. So for those of you who didn't know, it's not just about chocolate and eggs, although that is really nice. So we'll be going all the way into that, into Easter. Today, I wanted to unpack a story from Luke chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, feel free to get those out now. There's nothing like an OG Bible. Digital's great, but OG, it just hits different, you know. So we've got a lot to get through. I'm going to dive straight in. My first point, and then we're going to dive in, is this. We walk in power and authority. For all those note takers out there, I've said it once, I'll say it 1,000 times. When we get to heaven, I'm almost confident that if you take your notebook with you, you'll skip the line to get in. So for all of those people taking notes right now, we walk in power and authority. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. Well, we're going to go a little bit past 36, but essentially it's there. It says this, when Jesus had called the 12 together, talking about the disciples, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. What we're seeing here is Jesus is essentially, and we see it all throughout the Bible, God will often give his people authority over things so that they can go out and proclaim the goodness of God. We see it in Genesis when we see, whenever you see Adam and Eve put into the garden, it doesn't say that they owned the garden. It says God gave them authority over the garden. When we see the disciples here going out, they also are given authority to walk through into whatever town it is that they're sent to and to proclaim the good news. Now, I think something that you're going to see a theme of in today is it says here to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. This kingdom of God is something that is really important to take note of. Why? Because there's a good chance that the Jews and maybe even the disciples would have seen this kingdom or would have seen Jesus as the guy who was going to deliver them out from underneath Roman rule and place them back on top. You see, the Israelites had been, or the Jews had been what's the word? They've been oppressed for such a long time and under other people's rule. They thought that Jesus was this king that was going to come and set them free from that. But what God is talking about here is not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly kingdom, a spiritual kingdom that he's coming to bring to all the world. Jesus gives us that power and authority. And can I just encourage you, that's still our quest today. Our quest today is still to go out into all the world. Your world might look a little bit different to my world, but my world might look a little bit different to Zaid's world. Our worlds are all going to look different. God has called us, that's the Great Commission, to go into our worlds and tell them about the kingdom of God. I think something that stands out to me whenever I read about what, like all the miracles that happened in the Old and the New Testament, and I wonder, man, why don't we see stuff like that today? I think we do see that today. I think we maybe don't see it here as much as we'd like because we don't actually realize how much power and authority God has given us to speak to demons, to heal the sick, to call people out of poverty. Verse 3 says this, he told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Notice here, Jesus isn't giving them a DIY, go out and save your town booklet. He's not giving them 10 ways to win your friends and influence other people. He's not giving them a play-by-play or a script to go and read. He's simply sending them with what he's given them, which is power and authority. God has called them to proclaim the kingdom and to heal the sick. They're being called to preach and to serve. And just as Jesus demonstrates with his life, like I said a second ago, we are also called to preach and serve. Now, have we all got the gift of preaching over our life? Are we going to be the next Reinhard Bonnke and lead these like revivals through Africa and see these people like rise up from the dead or like limbs growing back? That might not be what God has for your life, but can I encourage you, it's not insignificant to the kingdom of God. Believe it or not, and I don't know if there's a Deborah in here, but Deborah at work still needs Jesus. Believe it or not, one of the boys at school still needs Jesus, even though it's not popular to talk about it. Believe it or not, that single dad who is raising children and comes to toddler jam on a Wednesday still needs Jesus. Our world still needs Jesus. They still need to hear about the kingdom. Is this good? You guys are quiet. Is this good? Yeah? Awesome. All right. Verse 4 says this, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, tell them to get lost. No, it says leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village proclaiming the good news of God. Jesus, we're going to skip down to verse 10, but what we're seeing here is Jesus essentially after this is calling his disciples back. He's got out the ram's horn, he's assembling the Avengers, and he's calling them all to this place called Bethsaida. Verse 10 says this, when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowd learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Here we go, Jesus speaking about the kingdom of God. And he healed those who needed healing. What are we seeing here? Very simply, Jesus is drawing a large crowd. How? They tried to go away secretly. But because they had seen all the incredible things the disciples were doing in the authority God gave them, not in their own authority, let me make that clear, but in the authority God gives them, so they were working in the plans and purpose God had for their lives, it drew them, it drew this crowd of people. Now, we're going to read later on, but in this story, it calls about 5,000 men. Now, typically, the writers of this time would normally only ever take note of the men. That was just the time. But you can estimate that there was probably at least three people to every one man. So it would have been like husband, wife, at least one child. So some people estimate there's probably about 15,000 people here, but I don't know how accurate that is. So we'll just call it for what it is. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away." Can you imagine talking to Jesus like this? "Send the crowd away so they can go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we are in a remote place here." You see, something that's really important to remember is the disciples have just gone out. They've gone and done their missions trip, gone from village to village. dusted off their shoes when they weren't welcome, but proclaiming the kingdom of God, walking in the authority God gave them. So the way my brain works crazy, so come with me here for a second, but the way I look at this is, could you imagine standing in or sitting in a seminar for, let's say, 12 hours straight, you're in the middle of the desert, and you've already been on mission. You're tired, you're hungry. Can I tell you, we've done Red Frogs and gone to schoolies. The last thing I want to do is sit in a seminar after you've done a week of schoolies. It's the last thing I want to do. So I can understand why you might have the disciples go, hey, they're hungry, let's send them off so they can figure themselves out. In trying to do the right thing here, they almost missed an opportunity for God to do something spectacular in this community with these people because they had tired eyes. I like to think about it like this. They weren't using their faith brain. They were using their natural brain. You see, Galatians 6 verse 9 says this, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." How often do we find this in our lives? Get to the end of the week, and rest is important, don't get me wrong. But how often do we get to the end of the week and we go, I'm done with people. I don't know about you, but I'm peopled out. Has anyone ever used that? It never gets said in our household, obviously. But I'm peopled out right now. I just can't do people. Verse 13 says this, "He replied, you give them something to eat." He replied, "You give them something to eat." Could you imagine being a disciple in this moment going, yeah, right. What am I? Rocks? Sand? Okay, Jesus. Great joke. "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd," about 5,000 men there were. "But he," Jesus, "said to his disciples, have them sit down." This is important. If you're taking notes, I can encourage you to take this note. "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. The disciples did so, and everyone sat down." That would never happen in a high school. "Take the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heavens, he gave thanks, and he broke them." So broke the bread and broke the fish. "Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people." All Jesus does here, I want you to take note, all Jesus does here is takes thanks, and he breaks the bread. Verse 17 says this, "They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over." You see something, and if you've been in church, you've heard this before, but something that is so key here is that the miracle doesn't happen in Jesus' hands. All he does is he thanks God for the bread, gives it to the disciples, and they're left with what little Jesus has given them to see a miracle happen. For those of you who maybe do ministry, or those of you who work with teams, I don't know what your circumstance or your situation is. Maybe you feel like God's called you to something, but you don't have what it takes to see it through. Can I encourage you? Why don't you just use what little God is giving you and watch him multiply it? You know what? Sometimes we need to do this. Sometimes we need to take stock of what we have, which is what we see here. They clearly say we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish in verse 13. We need to organize ourselves. For people like me, that's a struggle. Jackie's the organizer in the house. I'm the speaker and the good looks, obviously. She's much prettier than I am, but we need to organize ourselves. We need to create a plan. This was a challenge that I had for myself. Maybe God isn't ready to unleash or to release more finances because you haven't sat down and created a budget yet. as quiet, so it must have been good. Let me repeat that. Maybe God isn't ready to release those finances because you haven't even sat down and created a budget for the little he's already given you. Maybe God isn't going to give you more leaders in your business because you haven't taken the time to get to know the leaders he's already given you. And that's not, oh, I know he likes to get paid on a Wednesday, so I do that. And he comes in on a Friday at like 9 o'clock instead of 8:30. No, really get to know the people that are in your business. Really get to know the people that are in your life. Watch what God will do when you truly love and are a good steward of the little things he puts in your hand. And then finally, we just need to share what Jesus already gives us. Can I encourage you? Your testimony is enough. Your story is enough. There's power in our testimony. There's power in our story. What you have in your hands is already enough. Can I encourage you? The story of Jesus, the fact that he would live a perfect life and be born purely for the fact that he was going to die one day so that we could spend eternity with him, even though we don't deserve it, we never will, never could, we could never earn it, that is enough. Verse 18 says this, "Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowd say I am?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life.'" Jesus is asking an important question here, and I want to ask you this question. Who do the crowds say he is? But more importantly, in verse 20, who do you say Jesus is? It says here, "But what about you," Jesus asked them. Or what about you, he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Ka-ching, Peter gets it right. Who do you say I am? Who is God to you? Can I ask you this question here? So God is establishing his kingdom on earth. Do we serve God or do we serve the things of this world? Do we know God to be a good, good father, as we've sung about multiple times today? Or is he just an absent father who doesn't really care because he doesn't give me the things I want? Is he the Jehovah Jireh that we've been talking about all morning? Or is he the God that doesn't work in our timing, so we feel like we constantly have to take things into our own hands and we wonder why God isn't moving upon it? Who is God in your life? Who is God to you? Jesus strictly warned them, this is verse 21. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and must be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day raised to life." You see, the Son of God must suffer many things. He must be killed and raised on the third day. Jesus is now confirming who he is and what he must do. Verse 23 says this, "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the glory of the holy angels.'" My next point here is we need to take up our cross. I have a little bit of I wouldn't be a youth pastor if I didn't have props. So I have this here. Now, I don't know about you, but when we talk about taking up our cross, it's not these cute little gold chains that a lot of us have on. I got a splinter already, proving my point even more. When we take up our cross, it's noticeable. When we take up our cross, it looks awkward. Could you imagine if Tim walked into the office with one of these hanging over his shoulder? I'm pretty sure the first thing he gets isn't, "Hey, Tim, how you doing? You look great today." The first question he's going to get is, "Tim, what are you doing? Is that for something? What's happening?" I bet you if Zaid walked onto the job site with one of these hanging around his neck, well, I'll let you use your imagination, but they're probably going to take the mickey out of him. But can I encourage you, taking up your cross is not one of these things we do once and then we go, "Oh, yeah, that's all right. I'm just going to walk over here." And we go, "Oh, no, this is cool. Can I sit? Oh, wait, no, it's a little bit awkward. I'm not going to fit in there. Oh, no, I'm probably not going to fit there. Oh, I've just got to squeeze past here." When we've got a cross, it's awkward. It's big. It quite often doesn't look nice. It doesn't match well with my shoes. Well, actually, it does my shoes, but maybe not your shoes. The thing is, when we take up our cross daily, it's awkward, it's weird, people are going to look at it, it's hurting my shoulder a little bit, it gets tired sometimes. When Jesus carried his cross, the amount of times he would have stopped, the amount of times he would have fallen, he needed help by Simon of Cyrene, who helped him carry his cross. Can I encourage you today? You're probably going to need help carrying your cross as well. If it doesn't look big and awkward and bulky, can I encourage you, that's probably not your cross. It's probably just a convenient little piece of jewelry. But we're called to more than that. It says we must deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. You see, Jesus explains who the disciples are and what they must do. You see, we'll never truly understand who we are until we know the one who made us. The disciples acknowledged who Jesus is, and when they discover who they are, we can spend our whole lives looking for purpose. But we will never find it. We'll never truly find purpose until we find and get to know the one who created us for that purpose. Friends, today, can I encourage you? Today is the day, not tomorrow when it's convenient and you don't have washing to do at home or meal prep or that nice little Sunday afternoon lunch that you're going to. Right now. Right now is the time that we take up the cross. Verse 28 says this. We're coming to a close, so I might get Kate, if I can, to come and make me sound nice. Verse 28 says this. About 8 days after, Jesus said this. He took Peter, John, and James, and he went and entered up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. These disciples right here are getting a glimpse of exactly who Jesus is. They've already confessed, "You are the Messiah," but right now they're really, truly seeing who Jesus is. This portion of scripture goes on to talk about it looking like there's Elijah and Moses, and it's called the Transfiguration. I encourage you to go and read Luke 9 for yourself. But you see, the reality is when we get closer to God by walking with him daily, by taking up our cross daily, we get a better look at who he is. We finally find out what his true purpose is for our lives. What does that look like? Let me give you some really practical points here. that looks like reading your Bible. If you don't have one, can I encourage you? We have some at the information desk just outside. We'd love to give you one. We'd love to give you a little book that talks about following Jesus and what that looks like. You can download the YouVersion app. They have some Bible plans for you, some really simple ones. What else does that look like? It looks like getting connected to a community. Can I encourage you, if you're not a part of a life group, get a part of a life group. We have our young adults one meet every second Thursday. And do you know what we did? It was nothing super holy. It was not like Jesus came and descended on a cloud and invited us all to the beach. We just sat there, had way too many fish and chips, talked about life, and got a lot of sand in our stuff. But you know what? We were able to come together, encourage one another, love one another, and get into each other's worlds. We need to get into community. In fact, community is so important. It was one of the first things Jesus did. He created a community of people around him. It looks like, and dare I say it and plug it, it looks like serving in the house of God. Serving doesn't just look like this on a Sunday. It also looks like toddler jam on a Wednesday. Also looks like youth on a Friday. It also looks like helping out when we do things like go and renovate the mum's cottage. Serving looks like more than just four walls, playing with some words, flicking on some lights, and singing up on stage. Finally, my final verse. This is verse 34. It says this: while he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid. As they entered the cloud, a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Are you walking with God closely, that you can see his clothes are flashing like thunder, that he can call to you? Are you walking with God, and do you know his true plan for your life? Can I ask you, have you taken up your cross? Does it look bulky? Does it give you splinters when you pick it up the wrong way? Have you ever needed help carrying your cross? I don't know what it is for your life. I don't know what your cross looks like. But if you aren't, can I ask you a simple question? Would you accept him into your life today? Would you take up your cross today? You know, I was thinking this morning, just as I was reading over my notes, as we come into a time of Easter, Jesus would have been around about the same age I am today. He lived a perfect life, and I'm far from perfect. But he loved people perfectly. Can I love people the way that Jesus loved people? I might not be able to die for your sins, but I can definitely take up my cross today. And I love that this guy who was fully God and fully man would live a perfect life, be born in a manger. This guy was meant to be a king, but was born in the most unkingly-like place, so that he could live a perfect life, be whipped, beaten, spat on, poked with a spear, and hung on a cross to die for you and I, so that we could spend eternity with him, so our sins could be forgiven, so we don't have to be perfect men or women, but we can be progressive. We can try to get closer to God every day. And regardless of whether we would accept this gift or not, He died anyway for you and I. Hey, friends, if that's you today, if you're like, yeah, Chris, that's me. I've not been carrying my cross the way God intended it. Or maybe you're like, you know what? I haven't even heard of this Jesus guy. This is the first time. But I know I want to accept him into my heart. If that's you, with no one else looking around, just between you and me, just so I know who I'm praying for, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so boldly. If that's you today and you're like, yeah, I want to take up my cross. I want to accept Jesus. Yeah, I see that guy in the back there.